Ramban Parshas Beshalach. So the Parsha begins off with Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, and there's the Amud Anan Mancho Sam Haderech and Laila Bamud Esh La'ir Lahem. So they have the cloud in the days and the fire at night. And it says Vahashem Holech Lifnehem. So Ramban brings Vahashem always means Hashem U Beis Dino. So he just brings this medrash that right now, in Bisman Azeh, it was Aniu Beis Dini that would go before Klal Yisrael. We had, and whatever this means, the Anan is Hashem, and at night it was the Esh was Beis Dino. But La Sidlava will be Ani Levadi, only Hashem. As it says, Ki Olech Lefnei Hashem Ma'asifchem Elokei Yisrael. So the Ramban explains it just means that, like we just said, that in the Gula Rishona from Mitzrayim, it was Hashem and the Beis Dino at night. But La Sidlava, the Beis Din becomes Rachamim, meaning the Din becomes Rachamim, and it's Bahashem, that's the Shem Yud Kevavke, which is Rachamim, that'll be Holich Lifneim. Okay, just wanted to start with that. Anyway, it says that Hashem's going to harden Paro's heart, Bechizakti es Lev Paro v'Rodaf Achareim. This is in Perek Yedal Pasuk Dalet. So Ramban just points out that his lashon is in b'chol amofsim kepela hazeh. In all the miracles, there is no greater miracle than Paro and his soldiers running into the sea. Remember, 5 seconds ago, they were kicking them out. They're like, "Just take everything, get out of here. We're so scared, we're all going to die. Go, go, go!" And then they come to the Yam Suf. The sea blows open for them, either into one path or 12 paths. And they see the Jews walking in there, Be'abasha, and they're like, okay, probably God's on our side. We could kill them all. I mean, it's insane. You would think that would be a smart time to just go back to Mitzrayim and go home. No, Hashem put it in their hearts. He was mechazik leiv paro to run after them. And how? Because, as will it be explained, and the Ramban explains, that this the Yam Suf was split apart by air, by wind, strong wind. So it gave them, the Ramban explains this in a way that it's not nace, as in like you couldn't recognize it. There was wind that blew that split the Yam Suf apart. Obviously, that wind blowing does not split things into like nice columns like that, with the floor being dry. Like, that's not obviously, it's nace, but it was enough that the Mitzrim had something to hang their hats on, so to speak, and say, "Oh, see, it's just the wind that blew it open," and Hashem was mechazik their hearts. Again, I think it's useful to not think of that so much as like something you can't understand, like miraculous, but rather there are, I don't remember if I mentioned this last week, but the Meiri says that when it says Hashem hardened Paro's heart, it didn't mean that Paro didn't have Bechira. It meant that there are people, there are the types of people that just can't back down. They're impossible. That's their personality. They don't back down. So Hashem gave Paro that kind of personality and made him feel like that. Doesn't mean it's impossible. I mean, it's very difficult to conquer yourself. Same thing are here. I think it's not clear, but I think it's more mistaver the way the Ramban is explaining it, is that they saw the sea split open with wind. So, and they were hard in the hearts, meaning they were willing to, like, they're a little mishiga, run in and say, "Oh, well, there's wind, they know we could still kill him." It was like, I don't know that it was miraculous in the sense that it was unconquerable, their Yetzirah, to follow the Klal Yisrael into the sea, but it was certainly Hashem helping. Hashem put it in their hearts that they would hang their hats at anything. Anyway, but he does say that Lashon, which does make it sound literally miraculous. He says, "This is the greatest miracle out of all." I'm sure he doesn't mean that literally. But that's his lashon. There's no greater miracle than this. Look, they went mamish crazy following in the Klal Yisrael into the sea. So either it means it literally was absolute nace, or it was just like, crazy that they did this. But that's why it mentions that they were Radaf Achareim. He had to be mechazik their hearts. Okay, then we have Klal Yisrael's reaction to seeing Paro coming. It says, Paro hikriv, and Bnei Yisrael see the Paro's coming close to them, and it says Vayurim Oed, they're very afraid. Vayitzuku Bnei Yisrael Hashem, which means they davened. Vayamiru Al Moshe Mi Bli Inkvarim BeMitzrayim. Then all of a sudden, from going to davening, they seem to go to being, like, I don't know if the word's belligerent, but they go over to Moshe. Moshe, there's no graves in Egypt. Like Achtanu LaMos BaMidbar, you took us out to die in the desert. Now that sounds not just belligerent to Moshe, it sounds like being kofa in the whole nesiv yitzis Mitzrayim. The whole point of yitzis Mitzrayim was to take us out to die here. Ma'azosa, sisanon on yitzis Mitzrayim to be kofar and all the yitzis Mitzrayim so fast. 10 seconds ago they're davening. Now they're saying, why did you take us out of Egypt? So the Ramban explains that this is not Klal Yisrael like flipping and changing of heart. This is just describing different groups, which is really a Yisodistic thing. If you could say that in Psukim, you kind of have to read Chumash maybe a little bit different. When the Torah says different things Klal Yisrael said, it doesn't mean that the whole Jewish people said it. It means groups. There are different groups. There was one group that said, okay, Pharaoh's coming, we need a daven, Hashem's going to save us. There was another group that was belligerent and said, you know, you, Moshe, you didn't take us out of Egypt, or whatever, you were just trying to, con man, you're trying to get us killed out here. There was different groups. And that's why he says, by Az Yashir, we say, by Yair Yisrael, Hashem, Miram, Es Hashem. Start off by saying, by Yair Yisrael, right? Sorry, by Yair Yisrael, Yisrael sees the Yad HaGdola, Asher Asa Hashem, Yisraim, by Yiru Ha'am, and then it changes it to calling them Ha'am. Because it's the same thing. It was different groups. The Yisrael always refers to the higher level people. The always refers to the low level people. So when they saw Yamsuf, so Yisrael saw the great miracle Hashem was doing for them. And in the lower class, now believed. Because 2 seconds ago, these were the guys who were being belligerent. They said, oh, it's all, you know, you're taking us to kill us here. This wasn't from God. Then when they saw that all the Egyptians die at the sea, then Vayaminu Ha'am. Rather, by Yiru Ha'amis Hashem, by Yaminu, Ba'ashem, and Moshe Abdo. It's once they saw Kriyas Yamsuf and all the Egyptians dies, then the lower level people, feared God and believed in Moshe. But the Yisrael people, they always believed. So that's the different groups over here. Now the Ramban's Pshat is assuming that the word Vayitzeko is to daven, but he himself brings an Unkelus to not understand it that way. Unkelus describes it as Vayitziku, as they complained. That's how Unkelus translates by Tzaka, and then it's all consistent that it was all the people. But that's not how the Ramban learns. And he does bring a Mechilta that sounds like the Pashup Shat in the Psukim, that first they were diving to Hashem, and then when they saw the Egyptians were still coming, then they started complaining. Okay, then we have the Shiras Hayam. So in Az Yashir, we have that Klal Yisrael says, Mi Kamocha Ba'ilim Hashem. So what does the word mean? Who is like you, Hashem, in the strong ones, Ba'ilim? So the Ramban explains that Ba'ilim means the strong ones, and it refers to angels, heavenly powers. So who is amongst you, who is like you, Hashem, in the heavenly powers? So that's the Lashon of Elim. But it's just nice that he brings a lot of examples of this so you understand this concept. The Lashon of Hashem is ruler over heavenly powers, ruler over angels. Because I think this is what people daven to with Avodah Zarah, whether they knew it or not. That was the concept they were doing. They were bowing down to images that were supposed to symbolize heavenly powers. And of course, Hashem controls all of them, gives all of them their existence, controls everything. But that means Hashem is on top of them. So here's some examples besides that, besides the Mikamach Be'elim Hashem. We say Hashem is Kael Elyon in davening in Shemona Esrei. That's Kael Elyon. The Ramban says that's what that means. He's not just the Kael, he's the Kael Elyon. That means he's on top of all powers. Because there are Elim, and then there's the one on top. He's the Kael Elyon. We say Hashem is Elokei Ho Elokim. Same thing. Havu Lashem B'nei Elim, he says that. B'nei Elim are also these Elim. And they should give praise to God. Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Ho Elohim. Anyway, he brings a bunch of examples, other ones, but those are the ones that are most famous. And that's all what that means. Okay, it also says that Miriam came out to sing with the women, and it calls her Miriam Achos Aaron. So why is it calling her Miriam, brother of Aaron? So Rashi gives a couple of pshatim, but the Ramban's pshat is that because throughout the whole Az Yashir, it would have mentioned Moshe, mentioned Miriam, and Aaron had no place, and it wasn't nice to not mention Aaron, so we called Miriam Achos Aaron, so to throw Aaron's name in there. That's his pshat. You know, Rashi said she became a Navi when she was only brother of Aaron before Moshe was born, and he has another pshat there. But anyway, this is the Ramban's pshat, that was so we can mention Aaron's name. Okay, then after Kriyas Yamsuf, we have that in Pasuk Chafei, that they threw the eights into the water, and it turned sweet. And it says, Sham Sam Lo Chok Mishpat Visham Niso. So Rashi says this, they got some of the Miktas Parshia Shal Torah Sheis Askobam. They got part of the Torah to be Osik in them, which is Shabbos and Paraduma and Dinim. Okay, so the Rabban says he doesn't understand that that is a Chazal, but why doesn't the Torah tell us that? It always tells us if they got a mitzvah, why didn't it tell us what the mitzvah was? Why does it have to be from a Torah Shabbal Peh over here? Why isn't it hinted to in the or said in the Pesukim what the mitzvah was? So he understands that, at least, whatever. He understands that this means to say that it was given to them not as real official mitzvahs, but like the same way Avraham Avinu learned Torah, they were given Torah to learn, meaning they were still an Eidu Mitzvah of Oseh. They were just given it as in that these are things they need to do to see how they would do with them. That's Visham Niso. It was a Nisayon to see if they would be Mekabel them, B'simcha V'tuv Levav. But he uses that Lashon of Lahargilam B'mitzvos. Ladasi Mekabel Otzam B'simcha V'tuv Levav. It doesn't sound like this was the official Tivui, but rather this was just to see how they would accept it. But he says, Al Derech HaPshat, that these Chukim and Mishpatim were not real mitzvahs, they were just, Chukim just means Minhagim. That when they were going to live in a Midbar, so he gave them the proper hanhaga to choose. That they should daven to Hashem, not complain, they should be noeg with tznius, and they should have shalom with everybody. But that's what it means. The chukim were minhagim, to act properly. Tochachos musar, as he says, that they shouldn't be like marauding nomads in the desert, that they do every aveira. They should act al derech HaTorah, even though they haven't been given the Torah yet, but Hanhaga is how they should act till they get to Eretz Yisrael. And then we have this, that Moshe threw this wood into the water, and Chazal say that the wood was bitter, so it was a nes besoch nes, because it turned the bitter water sweet. And he brings from a medrash, I can't say fully understand this, but I'll just say what it says. It says, Vayarehu Hashem Eitz, it said, that was a hora'ah, V'lamdehu darko shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shu mamtik mar b'mar. This is the way of God, that he can sweeten the bitter with bitter. Okay. But he brings right later from the Ibn Ezra, and he says it himself slightly later, that there was this whole thing was supposed to be like a hint to Makas Dam. That is, there God made good water into bad, and Aaron put a staff in there, and it went from good water to bad. And here we stuck wood in it, and went from bad water to good, to show that Hashem does davar v'hafcho. There's no like Hashem can only work in one way. Hashem can work in this way, that way, because Hashem runs everything. And then, kind of agav, almost, he explains something about brachos, which is, as we know, brachos switch from third person to second person, I guess you'd say. Like, there are some brachos. You start every bracha, Baruch Atah, where you're talking directly to God. And then you say, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. And then as soon as you say Melech Ha'olam, refer to Hashem as King, then you switch to third person. Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosa B'tzivanu, not Asher Kiddashta. It's third person. Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosa B'tzivanu. That's third person. You don't say Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosecha, you say Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav. So we're switching. As soon as you mention Melech HaOlam, you switch to third person. And by Bracha Smuchu L'chavrta, where we don't say Melech, it's only in first person, like Shemona Esrei, like all the Brachas are Smuchu L'chavrta. So and Magen Avram, which started, he understands that the first Bracha Shemona Esrei is considered Machos, because saying Elokei Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov is considered Machos, whatever it is. And then the next brachos that don't have that are Blashon Nochach, Atah Gibor, Atah Kadosh. There you're talking straight, second person. Whereas the first bracha, which has Machos in a sense, we talk in the third person. Okay, La Gadol, La Gibor, Vanora. Anyway, he just mentions that, Agav. It came off this pasuk that goes back from Nochach. And this Vayomrim Shema Tishmel Nekol Hashem Lokecha, that one goes back and forth. Starting off, it goes the third person switches to second person. He's explaining that. Okay, then we get to the man. The man, it says the man that Hashem has given them the man. Hinini mamti lechem lechem in Hashemayim. And the Ramban explains it wasn't necessarily that lechem is a broad term. doesn't have to mean bread like wheat that grew from the ground. It's anything like that is called bread. And it was literally raining. That's the lashon mamter. It appeared to be like it was like that. And it was giving them the man laman hanasenu yelech besorasi. So Rashi says, what's the nisayon? What's the test? Yishmeru mitzvos hatoyos ba, that they shouldn't leave it. If they would keep the mitzvos of the man, which is don't leave it over for the next day, don't go for it on Shabbos. So the Ramban says that is not what that means. Rather, the nisayon is, I guess, what you would have thought, which is that they had nothing in the cupboard every day, meaning the etzem feeling of what's going to be. They had no parnasa. They were in Hashem Dafka took them, he says, to a midbar place where there was not near any cities. There was no chance of getting any food or water. It would be completely from rain from Shemayim, and they were only able to eat whatever fell, the amount that they were allowed to eat, and that's it. And they had nothing ever, and they were going to die for sure, unless another miracle happened the next day and man fell again. And again, it would be the exact right amount. So that's an nisayon. Meaning the nisayon is they didn't ditch Moshe and go, okay, we're going to the city now. They followed Moshe, they followed Hashem, and they lived with the man. And he says in the next pasuk that Yesh b'man inyan gadol, the man was a very big deal. So I know we all know it's a big deal. It was always strange to me. I don't have an answer to this. Why it was seemingly the biggest miracle of the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim, 40 years of it raining bread every day. You would think would be the biggest miracle. We don't have a real Daraisa holiday about it. So whatever. I don't know. But anyway, he says that the month itself was an Inyan Gadol. What's the Inyan Gadol? He says, it says, Lechem Abirim Machal Ish, which is that this the man is called Lechem Abirim. The Gemara is from the Gemara in Yuma. Lechem Shemalachi Asharis Ochlem, Divi Rabbi Akiva. Yuma Ayin Hamad Beis. That's the Lechem that the Malachi Asharis eat. Malachi Asharis eat man. That's Rabbi Akiva says, Amalo Rabbi Shmal Ta'isa B'chi Malachi Asharis Ochlem Lechem. You made a mistake. You think Malachi and Sharis eat lechem, but look for Nemer lechem lo chalti mayim lo shasisi, that they don't eat anything. Ela lechem ibirim nechem shalivla beivar. Okay, so he says in Rabbi Akiva, what did it mean? It means that the malachim are just reading his words. The kiyum of Malachi Sharis, they also need food, so to speak. Their kiyum is from the ziv hashchina, from the shine of the shchina, that which everybody knows probably from the Seil Shasharim, that olam haba is getting nana from ziv hashchina. So the malachim survive, their food, so to speak, is ziv hashchina, and the man was mitoldos or ha'elyon shenis gashem beratzon boro. You got that? That means this or ha'elyon, that the ziv hashchina that sustains the malachim, was somehow megushimized and became man. Meaning, obviously, through what Hashem said, it became that Or Elyon became somehow somewhat physical in that it fell down as man. And that's what the people were eating. And he says, Rabbi Shmuel argued, because what the Malachi Asheris and Nizun from are not something that's Nizgashim, Mitoldos HaOr, rather, it's the Or Elyon itself. But regardless, that's why the man was something so special, and that's why he could taste like anything. Because, I'm quoting his words, the Ramban, Ki ha-nefesh v'machshavta tidbak be'elyonim im timtza manoa chayim v'tafik rotzim alfanav. It was a spiritual thing, so the way you reach spirituality is with your mind, right? You're thinking lofty thoughts or thinking about Torah and whatever. So when you're eating a spiritual food, your soul, when it's thinking the right thoughts, then it can taste like anything because it was a spiritual type food. He also brings from the Mechilta, even more interesting, when it says, Hayom lom timtza ein basadeh, so today you won't find it, but you will find it lolam haba. So that could mean that if you're, as he says, that in olam haba, that means after tchias hamesim, what will people be eating back then when your body has switched from being post chet adam rishon to pre, and all the bodies get back to their pre-holy state, what do you eat? So he says the lower level people will eat man. Now, as we had, right, the malachim get the ziv hashchina directly, and the lower level people, they are less, and they will only, they'll be at the level that they'll survive on man, which is a lower level. It's something that was nisgashim, became physical from that Or Elyon, which just means they'll only be at the level of Dor HaMidbar. Which is, of course, plenty high. We know Rosh Evchaliyam, Mosh L'Roi, Chesklam Navi, like he says. But still, it's a lower level. But the Ramban says, more likely, it just means that it'll be mun-like. In other words, it'll be something that comes from Ziv Elyon, but they won't need to physically eat anything, not even something as spiritual as mun. It'll be just like we know from Mrs. Sharma quoted, Olam Haba is lo achilav lo shtia la tzadikim yoshim atroseim beroshayim. And behinen and Ziv Hashchina, and that's how they'll be in Niskayim, through Ziv Hashchina directly. Okay, next, the discussion about the Slav. It says that Hashem heard Klai Yisrael's complaints, and he would give them Slav. Beno Bayram Tochlu Basar, Babokar Tisbu Lechem. And they had Slav. So the Ramban's opinion is, you know, later on in history, they asked for Slav again. That's Kibra Sataiva, and people who ate it died. So he, the Ramban, understands that they had Slav the whole time. The entire time they had Slav. Quail, always. It's just not everybody had it. This first time, when it was asked for and promised to them, not everybody got it. Only the Chasheva people got it. Not the kids and not whatever. Only the Chasheva people got Slav. So later on, when there was complaints about it, that was from the lower level people, which makes sense. Those are the type of people that complain anyway. So it was the young people that were complaining, or the low level people. They never got this Slav. So that's why they complained later on and they died. But like a smach to this is there, it says everybody got like 10 wagon loads, right? 10 donkey loads of Slav. So here, when they got it originally, what they always had was a small amount. So only some people got that Slav, the chashuvim, or a small amount. So then we had that the mun would, if it was left over, it would have worms and become rotten. So that's the lashon of the pasuk, vayarum tolaim vayivash. They got worms and they were ruined. So Rashi says, well, it can't mean what it sounds like. You have to say it, you know, read the pasuk backwards. It got rancid, and then it got bugs, because worms, because usually that's how it goes. First it turns sour, and or spoiled, whatever, and then it gets worms. So that must be how you read it. The Ramban disagrees, just interestingly. He said, Rashi's right if you're talking about normal bread. This is not normal bread. This is miraculous bread. So he said Hashem did this on purpose, that he made it that they first got worms and then spoiled, which is miraculous. And the purpose was so that everyone should know what they did, meaning they left it over. So had it turned sour first, they would have known it's no good, thrown it out. And by morning time, no one would have known the difference. But now it got all the worms at night. And then in the morning, then it first miraculously started smelling, so that everybody, because they didn't throw it out because they hadn't smelled it. They wake up in the morning. Now it's got tons of worms, and it starts smelling, so everybody smells it, and then they say, oh, Moshe got angry at them. He knew that they had done that, and everybody knew that they had kept it overnight. He also points out, it says that they got double portion on Friday of mun, right? They got, because it would not rain mun on Shabbos, it only rained double mun on Friday and other days. And the Ramban just interesting points out that if there's no, you know, they got two portions on Friday. Okay, so how much are you allowed to eat on Friday? The Ramban says, whatever you want. It's just interesting because the Psukim don't say that there's a rule otherwise. So he says, if you had two portions, everybody picked up two portions on Friday, how much did you have to eat on Friday? You could eat 1.5. You could eat 1.9. I mean, you left over something for Shabbos, but he said it didn't matter. There was no rules. You didn't have to only eat exactly one portion on Friday and one portion on Shabbos. You could eat as much as you wanted on Friday, and then the bracha of Shabbos would make it that whatever you had over was good too. Okay, as far as the Be'er, he suggests that the Be'er, the original Be'er, the first time they hit it, you know, the first time we, like in our parsha, we had the Be'er where nothing wrong was done. So that water was a flowing water and just go to everybody's house. Nice, cold, crisp water, and nobody had to come get it. Whereas in the second time with the water, when Moshe hit the rock or whatever the Avera was, so there it says Be'er Chafaru Sarim, it was you had to come to it. It was a well of water where whoever came could get as much water as they want, but it didn't go to everybody's individual house, whereas this time it did. This is, of course, the same Be'er of Miriam. It was just the first time it went the right way, and the second time when it was hit, it was just a Be'er. Again, so the 40 years they had it come into their houses, but that time where Moshe hit the rock, so that at that time it was just a Be'er. Okay, then we have finally the Machamba with Amalek. So there it says, Vayomer Moshe El Yehoshua. He called him Yehoshua. You will note, this is not, it was at, in Parsha Shlach, is where his name was Hoshea and changed to Yehoshua. We're way before that here, and Moshe calls him Yehoshua. So the Ramban explains that Moshe always called him Yehoshua. From the time he came to Moshe, Moshe called him Yehoshua. Either because he had a kind of like an avuah that he wouldn't know he would. In other words, Chazal tell us, because Kal Yehoshua Yacham Yatzas Miraglim. So why would Moshe have called him Yehoshua originally? So he says that it could be because Moshe ben Avuah knew that he would need that name, because he would need it against the Miraglim. He also suggests it's possible that only at Parshas Shlach did he publicly announce his name is going to be Yehoshua, but he personally always called him Yehoshua. Okay, we know Moshe goes up and davens, and the reason the Ramban explains he was trying to go up there to seek Klal Yisrael, so he should daven stronger, and they should say him, so they should have confidence. And everybody copied him, meaning everyone was davening, whoever I guess wasn't fighting was davening as well. And then it's interesting, right? It says, if his hands were stretched out in tefillah, like it says, so what was he doing? It says, Matei Elokim Biyadi. How can he be holding the staff if his hands are stretched out in tefillah? So he explains that he went and he davened, and then he would stretch out his stick to bring makos on them. Makas dever cherev avden, whatever. He would use the staff, because that was, we know the famous Ran that says that the stick itself had some holiness because miracles were done with it, so it would make Moshe's tefillah be more accepted. That's the way maybe the Ran would say. So he had it with him, he said, to cause the makos, to give them makas cherev avden. But he davened first. So first he davened, then he did out his staff. And this was all the Ramban says because Amalek was a super strong nation. And the Jews were just slaves who had never been in the army, and therefore they needed extra help. And he also adds, it's not just that. This is, as we all know, the ultimate war. Amalek came to fight us the first time. He puts it all, Amalek and Edom, in the same camp. Amalek came to fight with us the first time. They're the ones that destroyed the second base of Mikdash the second time. And they're the ones that we're going to eventually, he says, Eliyahu and Mashiach ben Yosef will have their final war with in the end of days, where they finally destroy Edom and Amalek. Okay, and then it says, when Moshe put his hands down, the Jews would lose. So why did Moshe put his hands down? So Pashup Shad is because he was tired. I mean, he couldn't physically keep his hands up there that long. But he brings from a Medrash that Chazal say, you're not allowed to daven more than 3 hours at a time. So he would have to put his hands down periodically. Or to be more precise, Asher la'adam lishos shalosh shos kapav prusos hashamayim. I said the word davening because it's the same thing. Just the lesson of the Medrash is you can't have your hands outstretched to heaven more than 3 hours at a time. And he would stick his hands up. That's his 10 hands. So the Ramban says, al derech emes, that's his 10 fingers were lifted up to Shemayim as a remes to the 10 spheros. The davka be'emuna nilcham li'Yisrael. Whatever that exactly means, he says that's the concept of Kohanim. Meaning when they bench Klal Yisrael, duchening, they also have their hands stretched out. The hands are stretched out as for the ten fingers for the ten spheros. Okay, that's it.